You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jets. It is Tuesday, February 5th, 2019, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. The NFL offseason is finally and mercifully upon us. The Super Bowl is in our rearview mirror, although it did not have the outcome any of us were hoping for, but now everybody's in off-season mode. Everybody's looking ahead to what's to come in the year 2019 in the NFL, and it's a big off-season for the Jets. They'll have their quarterback heading into his second year. Most of the roster is going to have to be remade. They don't really have many players under contract. They have plenty of needs. They have plenty of cap space. They have the third pick in the draft. And as we focus on the offseason, I'm going to dedicate an entire show to one player, and that's the player who I think may be the focal point of this offseason, as we head into a free agency, prior to the free agent period. That's arguably the biggest name out there. That's Le'Veon Bell, the star Steelers running back who sat out the entire, he held out the entire 2018 season. Now he's set to hit the market, and you know, there have been some rumblings the Steelers may use the transition tag on him, and I mean, I'll believe that when I see it. And even if they do, I'm not sure it's going to have a big impact, because that only gives them the right to match an offer another team makes. And they're pretty clearly moving on. If they were willing to pay Bell big money, they would have done it already. And I think, you know, I don't think anything that's happened in this last year has made it likely that Bell would want, that the Steelers would want Bell back. I think it's pretty clear all sides have moved on. Steelers have a new running back that they are relying on in Connor. So, you know, I heard a year ago. I kept hearing a year ago how the Redskins were going to use the franchise tag on Kirk Cousins, and it ended up being a bluff. So, you know, Bell's going to be available, and he's going to be a free agent. So that certainly changes things, as far as I'm concerned. We'll get into that. So we'll spend the first segment, because I think this is a player with some pros, some cons. I'm going to spend the first segment talking about the cons. I'm going to spend the second segment talking about the pros. And in the third segment, I'm going to give you some final thoughts on whether I think the Jets should or should not sign Bell. And I've kind of tipped my hand a little bit in past shows, and you can probably tell that my views on this have evolved over the last few months. You know, I was kind of in one camp before. Now I've kind of moved into another camp. But let's jump in. And I think as we get started, one thing you have to acknowledge is that this is not a risk-free signing. This is not an absolute slam dunk that you go after Le'Veon Bell. I think that there are some pretty clear red flags here with this player, some of which are due to things that are specific to Bell, others of which are just due to the nature of the position he plays. And I mean, I think you look at the running back position, you look at the history of running backs getting big money in free agency, and it's risky. And I mean, I guess you could say that about a lot of positions, but running back in particular is a position that has a short shelf life in this league. It's not a position where players age well, and that's because the running backs get hit a lot. You're touching the ball a lot as a running back, which means you get tackled a lot. So that means those hits pile up. You know, they don't, more than they would at, say, a position of receiver where you're not getting the ball on every single play. The times you're getting the ball are less frequent, and even then you're kind of running out of bounds more. Sometimes you'll have sideline routes. Running backs have a shorter shelf life. And you look at this league's history, who have the really great running back free agent signings been? I mean, some of the guys who come to mind are guys who not necessarily as deep into their careers as Bell was, as Bell is. You look at Curtis Martin with the Jets. He was with New England for three. He was used heavily in New England those 3 years, but he was entering his fourth year in the league when the Jets signed him over two decades ago. You think of Priest Holmes moving to the Chiefs. He was not really used all that much. Michael Turner signing with the Falcons a little over a decade ago. That was a case of a guy who was a backup in San Diego for Tomlinson. So, you know, the truly successful, the big time running backs free agent moves tend to be guys who are not as deep into their career as Bell is. And you know, you look at Bell has taken a lot of hits in his career. He's a guy who is used heavily, and you know, the thing about Bell is he's taken more hits than just the raw numbers would suggest. You know, you look at the raw numbers throughout his career, you look at the number of touches he's had from scrimmage. So you pull that up, he has 1,229 career carries and 312 career receptions. So that's, you know, That's a little deceiving, though, because it doesn't include a few other things that you have to consider. You talk about in the playoffs add to that total. If you look at his playoff career, what does he have in terms of carries? He has 81 additional carries. He has 13 additional receptions. So that, you know, that's something that gets added on. But I'm going to add another layer here to this because I think that this is important. And it's something that I do think needs to be discussed when we talk about Bell, when we're talking about the number of hits he's taken throughout his football career. In college, he had 671 carries and added an additional 78 receptions. Now, everybody has carries and receptions in college. Everybody has college touches, every running back. So Bell's not alone in that. But he was really heavily used, especially his final year at Michigan State. He had 382 carries and added 32 receptions. So he had over 400 touches in one season. So those things add up. And again, I know everybody you have to add college touches to because everybody plays in college. But this is a guy whose usage has been higher than what you typically would expect from looking at his raw regular season numbers. So that's something you have to consider. Another thing you got to consider with Bell is just the old expression, the best ability is availability. And Bell has not been a guy who's been available during his career. And it's been for a number of different reasons. But this is a guy who's been in the NFL since 2013, and he's played in 62 games. He's played 16 games once. Now part of that was just the holdout this year, which, you know, probably would not be an issue once he has a contract, but he's had a suspension history, he's had some injuries. So, you know, I think there is a bit of a question about, is he going to be on the field? The suspensions make you worry because if there's something else that comes up, could he be looking at a longer suspension? That's something, you know, that's another thing to consider. Another thing I'm going to throw out there, and this is something that I'm not saying this is a deal breaker, it's something that bugs me a little bit, is you look at throughout the NFL, players never get on their teammates. They never have a bad thing to say about their teammates when their teammate is holding out in a contract dispute. And there's a reason for that, is every player is in this league to make money. It's a business. It's a career for them. They're trying to make as much money as they can. And they know my teammate right now is in a contract dispute. One day that may be me. One day my team may not be paying me what I think I'm worth, and I may hold out. So I'm not going to criticize them. Steelers seem pretty critical of Bell, and it makes me wonder what's up there. You know, I don't know what's up, but that bugs me a little bit. I'm not going to lie, that does bug me a little bit. But then, you know, even if we get beyond this stuff with Bell, it's just, you talk about positional value. First of all, you look through the league, you look at the elite runners. Yeah, there's some guys who teams use first-round picks on, but it just seems like the running back position to me is not just a position where you can find guys who are okay or good later, you know, day two of the draft, rounds two, three. It's like you can find guys who are elite at that position. The league doesn't really value the running back position all that much. And I think that's part of the reason, is just there's a supply of really good, of elite running backs who can be had. It's not yes, there are guys who go in the first round, but it just seems to me there's an inordinate number that go day two of the draft. So it's something you can pick up. And the other thing is, the elite offenses, they don't seem to miss a beat without the star running back. You know, you look at what Kansas City kept being productive once they got rid of Hunt. And Pittsburgh, and this is, again, something that matters. I'm not saying it's the determinative factor, but does it bother you a little bit that Pittsburgh took a guy who, again, was not really a high draft pick in Connor and plugged him into that offense, and that offense still kept rolling? Does that bother you at all? It does give me a little bit of pause. So these are things that concern me with Bell. You know, a year ago, I wrote an article, again, greennation.com, and I concluded that Bell was not a good idea. And so I came up with some of these things. Some of them are obviously new, but I think there are some concerns. This is not one of those things that you can say, well, no, there was never any. If you sign Bell and it doesn't work out, this is not one of those situations where you can say, how could anybody have been opposed? Look, there are plenty of reasons to be concerned about this. But when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the reasons that signing Bell could make sense for the Jets. We're here at Locked On Jets talking about Le'Veon Bell as the NFL offseason officially begins. Now, for the Jets, we've been in the offseason for over a month, and the offseason doesn't really begin in earnest for a few weeks still. We're not in the new league year where free agency has begun, so we're kind of, you know, in no man's land. But with the Super Bowl ending, we're kind of officially in the offseason. So we're now, on today's show, we're focusing on the number one target they're the best player, probably the best, or at least the biggest name player who's going to be available in free agency on the offensive side of the ball, Le'Veon Bell. In our first segment, we talked about reasons why he might not be worth it, reasons for concern about potentially signing him. Now we're going to talk about reasons why this signing would make sense. And number one is pretty obvious. He's an elite player at his position, and the Jets don't have a lot of elite talent, especially at playmaking positions. I think that there's a tendency among fans to overrate the talent that you have at the skill positions. At least that's what I've noticed among the Jets fan base over the last few years. I think the mistake you make is that if you look and you think, you see that not everybody is a total bum. You know, if you see guys who are functional NFL players, you tend to think you're okay, when that's not necessarily the case. Yes, the Jets do have some guys who can play in the NFL. I think Anunua can play in the NFL. I think Robbie can play in the NFL. I think Herndon can play in the NFL. I don't know. Herndon, I don't know what he is yet, but I think we're pretty clear that Anunua, Robbie, they're more supporting players. They're not go-to guys. Jets don't have any elite talent on the offensive side of the ball. And that's what the Jets need. I mean, look, they got to get some elite talent. They got to find a playmaker to help Sam out here a little bit. You know, it was too much of this offense has been based on Sam Darnold standing in the pocket, scanning the entire field, pocket crumbling. He has to move within the pocket or escape the pocket, throw a laser to a covered receiver into a tight window because nobody can get separation. There have to be ways to move the ball easier than that. There, you know, there's no player that Sam can just say, you know what, I'm taking a play off. I'm just going to dump it off to this guy short and let him run 10, 15 yards. There's no, Jets need that. So that's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious where Bell would be a fit from that standpoint. Jets need it. And look, I don't know where, if you don't get this elite talent, if you're looking to add elite talent and it's not Bell, who's it going to be? Are you going to trade for Antonio Brown? Are you going to trade for AJ Green? Look, it's possible, but here's the problem. You can't guarantee that you're going to be able to trade for somebody. A trade, you know, you don't know whether you're going to put together the best package. And the other aspect is Bell does not cost you draft picks. Those guys would, and the Jets can't afford to be giving up draft picks as it is. They don't have a second rounder this year right now, and they have so many needs. They can't afford to give up another shot at a young player. So, I mean, I think this might be the one situation where it makes sense, where the Jets could actually add an elite talent without hurting their draft capital. So that's, you know, that's something to consider. Now, I'm going to take something I said in the last segment and kind of flip it on its head. You know, I talked about how these elite offenses have functioned without a running back. You know, how Pittsburgh didn't miss a beat without Bell, how Kansas City kept rolling without Hunt. Now let's flip that on. Jets don't have an elite offense. So I think, you know, you also have to consider the scenario you're in. Yes, if I had elite wide receivers, if I had an elite tight end, if I had an offensive line I trusted, okay. In that situation, maybe I can, the running back might be the most replaceable player if I was in that situation, but I'm not in that situation. The Jets are not in that situation. So I didn't think you could make an argument that Bell is more valuable to the Jets than he would be another team, because the Jets need somebody like him who can take pressure off everybody else, who, you know, can force the defense to bring extra defenders into the box and open things up down the field for the receivers. A guy, again, who's just an easy check down target where Sam can just drop it off to him, watch him run down the field with the ball in his hands. I think that there's a case to be made for that. And the other thing about Bell is that if you use him properly, he's not just a running back. He's almost like a hybrid running back receiver kind of guy. In fact, I think that, and I'm not saying that this is the best way he'd be used, so don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the Jets should do this. I think that if you put him in, if you moved him to slot receiver, just had him, you know, take in a full offseason program, a training camp at slot receiver, I think he'd be a pretty good slot receiver if he did that full time, because I think he's got receiver skills. And you talk about running backs catching the football out of the backfield. I think that there are different types of quality. You have guys who are good on the screen, who have soft hands and can make a play once the ball's in their hands, and, you know, they'll post a lot of, you know, gaudy reception totals. Then you have guys who actually can run routes, and Bell is a pretty savvy route runner to me. I think, again, he's a guy who, especially in the middle of the field, he knows how to find the holes in zones. I mean, there's more you can do. You can split him out wide, and he can help you a lot if you put him out wide, because if you put him out wide, it kind of forces the defense to tip its hand in coverage. You put him out wide and a linebacker follows him out there, well, you know it's man-to-man coverage, because the only reason the linebacker's going out wide to follow a running back is if you got him in man coverage. Whereas if you get Bell lined up against the corner, you know it's probably zone, because why would you waste a corner against a running back? unless it's zone coverage, and then that's just the zone he's in. So he can help the team in that sense. You know, he can help make life easier on the quarterback. And even, you know, even if you just start him out wide and motion him back to the backfield, again, that alone forces the team to tip its coverage, because the team doesn't know he's going to motion back into the backfield. So he can help you in that sense. I understand the argument, and I made the argument in the first segment that, you know, the Steelers and the Chiefs did okay without their top running back, but those aren't really the offenses you can compare the Jets to right now. So I think there's a case to be made that Bell is more valuable to the Jets than anybody else. The Jets are in a position to take a risk. I mean, with all this cap space, they have to, you know, the cap space has to be spent on somebody. So, you know, there's an argument to be made. Why not just take the risk on an elite talent? And look, there's a reason they have a lot of cap space, and that's because, and this above all else is the reason they have a lot of cap space, and this is something nobody really talks about, but this is, I think, about the reason above all else they have no cap space. So this is the cap space the Jets have that should be going to players on their second contract, players you drafted, successful drafted players who get a second contract. That's where your big money goes. Well, Jets don't really have many of those. Jets haven't had players worth keeping. They cut all their draft picks. Very few of their draft picks make it to a second contract. That's the biggest reason the Jets have all this cap space. So you have to replace that with talented players from other teams. That's essentially what you have to do. And again, this is a guy who is a top flight talent. Now, I think you have to, as we talked about in the first segment, you have to be concerned about, you know, will Bell last? Is he a risky player? One thing I will say for him, I think that his running style, you can make a case, means that he'll age a little bit better than a lot of other backs, because, you know, Bell's synonymous with patience. You know, he's a patient runner. He's not a guy who relies totally on his athletic ability. He does rely on it to an extent, but he's a guy who reads his blocks. He understands angles. He understands where to find his hole. So he's a guy who uses his smarts as much as his athletic ability as a runner. So that, again, there's an argument to be made. Maybe he'll age a little bit better than some of the other guys. I think these are some of the arguments to be made for signing a Le'Veon Bell. We're here at Locked On Jets talking all about Le'Veon Bell today on this Tuesday. We talk first segment reasons to maybe not want Bell, second segment reasons Bell would make sense, and now I'm just going to give you my opinion on this. And I would not want to make this signing in a vacuum, because, again, this is not a position where the league really values players. And, again, it's a position where you should be able to find high-quality players without using premium resources, without using a day-one pick. Now, I don't think Bell's going to cost $18 million. I don't think the market's going to be there for that, but I do think he's going to cost a decent chunk of money. And I wish that the Jets had a better way, but this is not happening in a vacuum. This is the last in a series of moves, a series of terrible moves where the Jets have put themselves in a position where they have no playmakers. So, you know, I think too frequently what I hear when a signing fails is, well, everybody agreed with it at the time. You can't blame Mike Maccagnan. You know, but Mike Maccagnan tried to sign an elite player, and I've told you why I disagree with this. Above all else, because it gives you the idea that Mike Maccagnan should be as good as, you know, fans or media members at evaluating players. Well, the media didn't have a problem with the fans. Well, Mike Maccagnan, the reason he has the job is he's supposed to be the best guy. He's supposed to be way better than all those other guys. He's supposed to see things that fans and media don't see. So I don't want to hear that if he signs Bell and it doesn't pan out. But the real reason I don't want to hear it if he signs Bell and it doesn't pan out is that this is the last in a series of moves. The Jets, in an ideal world, would not need Bell. They'd have playmakers on offense. They would have made more successful moves at the receiver position, at the running back position. The fact that they're in a position where I'm saying that they almost have to sign Bell, is because they're in a desperate spot on the offensive side of the ball, where they have this young quarterback who has talent, and they just don't have quality pieces around. Yes, I know they do, and I know that they have some competent NFL players, but they don't have enough quality pieces around this quarterback. So I think it's a risk you have to take, because there's no other mechanism by which you can add a quality, you know, a high-end player without giving up, again, picks you can't afford to give up. Now, there's an argument out there, well, the Jets should focus on the offensive line. There's nothing to stop the Jets from also focusing on the offensive line. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, you talk about the offensive line, well, almost certainly, it's not a guarantee, but almost certainly the Jets, if they sign an offensive lineman, he's going to replace one of three guys on the offensive lines, either Kelvin Beachum, Spencer Long, or Brian Winters, who can be cut. And the cap space saved from cutting them would be a down payment that would go a long way toward paying the new offensive lineman. So even if we go past, you know, the $100 million or so the Jets should have under the cap, Bell's not going to preclude them from signing offensive linemen. And frankly, they need both. They need offensive linemen and they need better skill players. And there's no better skill player out there right now than Le'Veon Bell, risks and all. You don't want to be in a situation where you have to take a risk like this. That's just not that's not good negotiating posture to put yourself into this position. But it's the position the Jets have put themselves in. I don't like the fact that they have to do this, but I do think they have to pursue Bell and make a big push for him. Now, will they? I guess we'll find out. You know, there was a story last week in the Daily News that the Jets were, you know, going to make a competitive offer, but they weren't going to break the bank or something like that. And it, the thing about that article is, you know, people went crazy when they saw it. That article never defined what the Jets think a competitive offer is. It never defined what the Jets think breaking the bank is. The Jets' opinion on what those two things are can make a big difference. You know, do the Jets think a competitive offer is like $15 million a year? Well, in that case, they're probably, you know, they might get Bell. Do the Jets think breaking the bank is, you know, $10 million a year? Well, then maybe they... So we don't know what the Jets are thinking. That's why it was kind of a useless article. But I think the Jets really need to... I don't see a scenario where the Jets can afford to not land Bell unless the money just gets so out of control. Like, we're talking like $20 million a year where it's just like you can't possibly give a running back that. But if the Jets are, you know, the Jets just have put themselves in an awful position here where... You know, it's a risk that I think they just have to take. So that's my view on it. I'm interested to hear your view. Thank you for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll be back again tomorrow. Talk more Jets.